Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. It's Monday, December 12th, 2022, and will be broadcast on Wednesday, December 14th, 2022, on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host, Ron Meniza. We're coming to you live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. Comment below to let me know you're here and ask questions. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at FranStorchND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. All right, so before I get into the topics of the week, I keep doing this, like I have topics of the week planned, and then something else comes up, and I want to talk about that. I just wanted to remind you, we had a lovely thing happen last night, and that was it snowed. It was the first real... We had a sticking snowfall a week or two ago. It snowed. It stuck on soft surfaces, not on the streets and the sidewalks, but it did stick on the grass. But it only lasted a few hours, and then it melted the next day because the temperature went up and it didn't stay. This time, it's cold. We had a good snowfall, and we've got, what, 2 or 3 inches? 1 or 2 inches? What do you think?
Yeah,
something like that. And it's down, so it's the first real snowfall. So what that means is it's cold out, the thermostat is high, and the barometer is low. The sun is trying to peek out right now. We have a lot of snow, and the air is dry. So one of the things I want to remind you is that you're going to get dehydrated easily. And I had a patient say to me within the last week, I don't think about drinking, so I know I don't drink enough water, and I certainly don't think about drinking this time of year. You don't notice that you're thirsty, so I wanted to remind you that you need to drink, and what you want to do is, wherever you are, have some water on hand so that you can sip off it. Even if you're not feeling particularly thirsty, have it there so you eyeball it and you go, oh, maybe I should take a sip. And if you're not super thirsty, take a little sip, and by the end of the day, you'll see that glass of water has been emptied. And you want to try to empty a couple of those a day. You just want to make sure that you have water on hand. And if you're not big on plain water, you can take your water and flavor it. You can flavor it with fruit. You can use lemon or lime or orange or even fruits you wouldn't think of, like berries. And you can sit it in the fridge and let it sit like that. The nice thing about lemon and lime and orange is that you can take a slice and squeeze it into your water. And then it tastes good right away. You can also, if you're not big on cold water, you don't have to drink it cold. You can drink it room temperature. And you can also drink warm water if you want to. And if you're not big on warm water, then of course, and you're not wanting to get yourself overly caffeinated, then find some herbal teas that appeal to you, that taste good. And you can get herbal teas that taste very fruity. I found a beautiful herbal tea that's got rooibos and blood orange in it. And mostly tastes like blood orange. So it tastes very orangey. It tastes a little bit earthy, but mostly orangey. So even someone who's not crazy about plain rooibos might like the blood orange tea. So if you find these nice fruity teas, they're easy to make. You get the tea bags and you can steep them in the fridge if you want to. You can steep them cold and you can drink them cold, or you can drink them room temperature if you want to. But do remember to hydrate yourself. One of the things that you might be finding as well is that your skin is dry. One of the reasons your skin is dry is because you're dehydrated. It's not just because you're not using enough lotion. I mean, if you drink more water, you'll have less wrinkles and your skin will be nicer all over your body. I mean, one of the ways you can tell that you're dehydrated is to take your wrist and pinch it. And if your skin tents, you're dehydrated. So my skin is not tenting, which is very good. And it's bouncing back. So I'm pretty well hydrated. And I've got my water glass right here. I was just downstairs on the trainer bike, and I drank most of a 20-ounce bottle of water. So I probably drank, you know, a pint of water while I was down there. So that's good. And I've had a little bit of, you know, like 4 ounces of juice already today, and I've had a sip of that water. So I'm going to keep at it, and I'll probably have a cup of tea at some point today. And so I encourage you to do the same. Tea, water, seltzer water, anything you want, it's really important to do. You need water to keep your blood volume up. You might find, if you're finding that you're feeling a little bit lightheaded this time of year, You can be lightheaded because you're forgetting to drink water, and you're more likely to drink water when it's hot out or when your environment is warm. So making sure that you're getting some of that water in. And then if you're eating more carbohydrates, which a lot of us tend to do because there are a lot of treats around, remember that carbohydrates draw water to them. So they're going to be drawing water to them in your gut, and it will draw the water away from other parts where you might need it. So drinking more water to accommodate those carbohydrates that you ate, or maybe think about eating a little bit less on the carbohydrate side, and then you're going to feel better. So do remember to drink. And if you need to, you can use electrolytes in your water. Remember, quarter cup of fruit juice, your favorite fruit juice, whatever flavor you like that sits well in your stomach, 3/4 water and a pinch of sea salt, and you've got an electrolyte drink. You can certainly buy commercial electrolyte drinks, but make sure to buy drinks that don't have an excess of sugar in them and certainly don't have high fructose corn syrup in them. So I was thinking about this as I'm walking around going, ooh, I'm thirsty and my skin is dry and my hair is dry and I'm having to use more stuff in my hair to keep the frizzies away. And you might find that too, that your hair, if you tend to have frizzes in your hair, that you're needing to use more product. So you might want to use a little more oily or moisturizing conditioner, whether in the shower or leave-in, because it'll keep your keep your frizzies away. And if you're going to do that, you might want to get ones that don't have, just watch the container, make sure they don't have parabens in them. So many things have parabens and phthalates in them, and parabens and phthalates can lead to different kinds of cancer. So you want to use products that don't have those things in them. And a lot of the commercial companies, the large big box supermarket companies, are now leaving out parabens and phthalates because they know people don't want them in their products, and even lauryl sulfates as well. Lauryl sulfates are foaming agents, and they can cause hair loss. They can cause irritation. I don't know that they're thought of as causing cancer, but they're detergents. They're foaming agents, so they make your shampoo nice and lathery, but they can lather up so much that they irritate your hair follicles, and then you get hair loss. So make sure if you're using shampoo and you're using extra conditioner and stuff, that you use ones that have nice moisturizing ingredients in it. Avocado oil, olive oil, shea butter, coconut oil, cocoa butter, all of those ingredients. And they can give your hair some nice added sheen and help to take care of those frizzies. The other thing you can do is find a natural mask, something that's called a mask. So after you do your conditioner, you leave your conditioner in, wash yourself up. So you leave your conditioner in for a couple of minutes and then wash the conditioner out and put the mask in. The mask will help to seal, it'll help to seal your hair, so you'll have a little bit less frizz. So I've been doing this. It works okay. You know, I tend towards frizz. It's just my texture. It's the way it is. And then make sure you get your frizzies trimmed off and, you know, go see your favorite hairstylist and get your trim, or do it yourself if that's what you do, or get whoever it is that normally trims. You know, get a nice trim this time of year. So enjoy the snow. Get outside. Walk around in it. It's lovely and fresh outside. It's very bright. And if you're having issues with depression or seasonal depression, it's really nice to get outside when it's snowed because it is so light. What's one thing about the darkness of this time of year? When it snows, everything is so much brighter. And even today, it's still a cloudy day. There's still brightness in the sky, and the snow reflects that light. So you get a lot more light, and it's white, so you're getting the full spectrum of light out there. So getting outside, or even if you're not big in getting outside in the cold, just sit near a window and look out the window, and you'll get that nice brightness from the snow. It's very cheering. It's a way to reverse this idea of this darkness this time of year. The other thing is, we're recording this on December 12th. That means that today and tomorrow are the last 2 days of the sunset nadir. So here in Mansfield Center, now you can look in your town, whatever town you're listening in. All towns have somewhat different sunsets. Well, if you're in the exact same, your sunsets can vary depending on where you are based on both your longitude and your latitude. So our sunset right now in Mansfield Center is 4:18 p.m. And it's a little different whether you're east or west of us. And so you can look at what yours might be tonight. So our sunset is 4:18 p.m. And it will set it'll set tonight at 4:18 p.m. It'll set tomorrow night at 4:18 p.m. And then on Wednesday, it's going to set at 4:19 p.m. So we're going to start gaining minutes at the end of the day, starting Wednesday. Hooray! We will still be losing minutes in the morning. And of course, we lose minutes in the morning until New Year's. And then we have the sunrise, I guess zenith, you would say, because it's the latest that it's going to be. And the latest it winds up being is something like 7:18 a.m. here in Mansfield Center. And it will stay there from around New Year's Eve through to January 6th. And then January 7th, we start gaining minutes in the morning. And the rate that we lose minutes in the morning does not offset the fact that the rate that we're gaining minutes in the evening leading up to the solstice does not offset the rate that we're losing them in the morning. So the days are still getting shorter. So sunset we're still losing minutes at kind of a rapid rate up until the solstice. And we keep doing that until the first of the year. And it has to do with the positioning of the earth, where it's changed, where the earth is now positioning, that it's moving out of its furthest point away from, our hemisphere's furthest point away from the sun, and it's changing direction. And so it has something to do with that. Somebody who's astronomically trained can explain it a little bit better than me. Anyway, so I thought I would share that with you. Drink your water. Use more moisturizer. Use natural moisturizers. And help yourself to stay healthy at this time of year. All right, so we're going to round out the topic of added sugars. Here are some natural sweeteners that have some health benefits and are generally better than eating white refined sugar. However, they should still be limited because these are not non-caloric sweeteners. That is, they are sweeteners that have calories. So the first one we'll talk about is coconut sugar. So coconut sugar is interesting. And we have a scientist who talks about whether it's healthy or it's really just another sugar. So people are talking about natural alternatives of sugar. So coconut sugar has become very popular. It's derived from the coconut palm. It's supposed to be more nutritious and lower in the glycemic index than sugar. It separates, there's some issues with coconut sugar in both directions. It's also called coconut palm sugar. It's made from coconut palm sap, which is the sugary circulating fluid of the coconut plant, and confused with palm sugar, which is similar but made from a different kind of palm tree. And they're not the same. Coconut palm and plain palm sugar, they're not exactly the same thing. They're two different species of plant. You cut into the flower of the coconut palm, and the liquid sap is collected in containers and then it's placed under heat until most of the water is evaporated. So it's a brown granulated sugar. It's similar to that of raw cane sugar, but there's variable particle size, and isn't more nutritious than regular sugar. Regular white table sugar and high fructose corn syrup don't have any vital nutrients, and they're absolutely empty calories. But coconut sugar does have a lot of the nutrients that are found in the coconut palm, so that's nice. There are minerals. There's iron, there's calcium, potassium, zinc, and some short-chain fatty acids. There's some antioxidants and polyphenols. It also contains inulin. So inulin is a very nice thing for it to have, which may slow glucose absorption, explain why it has a lower glycemic index than regular table sugar. Inulin is also a great prebiotic. The probiotics in your digestive system like to munch on it. So when you eat foods with inulin in them, like artichokes, both kinds of artichokes, Jerusalem artichokes and globe artichokes have inulin in them. Chicory and other root vegetables, burdock, things like that, they have inulin in them. So when you get inulin, you're going to have a better gut flora because you're going to have this great prebiotic on board. So coconut sugar does have some nutrients in it, but fruits and vegetables have more. So you should realize that. It's still sugar. It's still very high in calories as far as regular sugar. And to get the good nutrients, you have to eat a lot of them. So it's really better to get your nutrients from, fruits and vegetables. But it is different from white sugar. Like if you're going to eat sugar, it's a good choice. And the good choice of sugar is that because it does have these nutrients in it and it does have its inulin, it is going to be a little bit, it's going to get into your system a little bit slower than white sugar. The lower glycemic index, so foods with a glycemic index of 50 raise blood sugar levels half as much as pure sugar. So regular sugar, glucose, has a glycemic index of 100. So that's the rate at which it raises your blood sugar. So foods with a glycemic index of 50 raise your blood sugar half as fast as pure glucose. Table sugar has glycemic index around 60. So coconut sugar has been measured with a glycemic index of like 54. So it is lower than white table sugar. White table sugar isn't the same as glucose because it's made of sucrose, which has glucose and galactose in it. So the glycemic index can vary a lot between individuals, and it can also differ between batches of coconut sugar because the inulin content can change with the level of coconut sugar. It probably can change with the actual plant, with the time of year that it's harvested, with the temperature at which it was harvested. There's a lot of factors that affect that. Sucrose is glucose and fructose. I think I got that wrong. Added sugar is not so healthy because it causes a significant rise in blood sugar. It doesn't have a lot of nutrients and not a lot of vitamins and sugar. So that's your added sugars in general. Added sugar is not so healthy because of the high fructose content, and it's unopposed fructose, which means that it doesn't have fiber and it doesn't have nutrients to slow the absorption of the fructose into your system. Fructose goes straight to your liver for processing and isn't affected by insulin. So it gets right in for processing, and because it's being processed there, it's more likely to be processed quickly into fat, and you can get fatty liver from eating too much unopposed fructose. And there are claims that coconut sugar doesn't have fructose, but it does have 70-80% sucrose, which is still half fructose because sucrose is glucose and fructose. So coconut sugar has almost the same amount of fructose as regular sugar, gram for gram. And if you eat too much of that, added sugars cause all sorts of problems. Coconut sugar does have that slightly better nutrient profile than sucrose, which is what table sugar is. You should still use it in moderation. But again, when you're using coconut sugar, when you're saying that it's still got a good bit of fructose in it, it does have glucose in it, it does have the inulin in it. So I would say that if you're going to eat sugar, it's probably a better choice than regular table sugar. It doesn't mean you should be using it all the time and tons of it. But remember, we talked last week about how an ideal amount for women is no more than 6 teaspoons added sugars per day. And for men, it's no more than 9 teaspoons. Choose your teaspoons carefully. So if you add a teaspoon of coconut sugar versus white sugar, that's going to be better for you, like ounce for ounce. We're not saying go eat coconut sugar, it's a health food. It's not exactly like that. What we're saying is that coconut sugar is healthier than white sugar. And so if you're making choices about your sugar consumption, and you are going to eat some anyway, which a lot of us do, you might want to choose to use coconut sugar because it is somewhat healthier than white sugar. And in the context of a very healthy diet of lots of fruits and vegetables, clean protein, nuts and seeds if you tolerate them, clean dairy if you tolerate that. So coconut sugar is not a miracle food. I think it's somewhat better than table sugar, that if you're going to choose one versus the other, you can choose coconut sugar. It does taste different than white sugar. Like white sugar just tastes sweet. Coconut sugar does definitely have an earthy flavor to it. So not everybody's going to like the way it tastes in various foods. And it depends on what your preference is. Personally, I don't mind the taste of an earthy sugar in a good coffee, because coffee has so many dark notes anyway. If you put coconut sugar in your coffee, you might enjoy it because it will blend well with the dark notes in the coffee. I found that coconut sugar is good in coffee. Evaporated cane juice is good in coffee. Of course, white sugar is good in coffee, but you know, if you're going to choose one, you might want to choose the coconut sugar or evaporated cane juice because it does have some more vitamins and minerals and some of that inulin to slow its absorption. And, you know, again, if you're choosing teaspoon for teaspoon, I think you're better off with coconut sugar. The other thing is baking. That coconut sugar tastes very nice in baking, that it really does, like you don't notice it as much. Some people might, but you don't notice it as much in baking because in baking you have a lot of other things going on. You have vanilla in you, or you have chocolate, or you have fruit. And so when you put the coconut sugar in, you're not going to notice it as much. I found that with evaporated cane juice as well. I prefer to bake with those things than white. I tend not to bake with white sugar at all. You know, I tend to, you know, if I'm making a baked good or a dessert, I will use either coconut sugar or evaporated cane juice or maple syrup or some combination of those. And so it's not necessary to use white sugar, and you're probably going to be somewhat better off for that. Limiting your added sugar is the best thing to do, obviously, but it's December 12th or 14th or whenever you're listening to this. You're not going to do that. You're probably not going to do that. Well, maybe some of you are. I don't know. But I'm not insisting on it. And, you know, a lot of my patients are saying, you know, I'm going to start this after the holiday season. I'm like, fine. You know, what are you going to say to them? You know, they've got gatherings and family stuff, and people are giving them goodies, and we've got stockings, and they've got chocolate in them. And, you know, what are you going to say to people? You know, that, and this is a time of year when you do crave those extra sweets. You want to sleep and you want to eat, and you don't want to do a lot else. And it's hard to do other things. All right. So now we're going to talk about, I mentioned maple syrup. We're going to talk about that for a minute. For a hot minute. Hot minute is a thing a people say.
Yeah.
A hot minute. It's like real quick, you know. So,
yeah.
So now what I'm about to read is something that, you know, this is put out by the maple syrup growers in Maine. Sorry, Maple Syrup Producers Association of Maine. So they're going to be very pro maple syrup. You have to realize that maple syrup is still added sugar. And if you eat 10 teaspoons of added maple syrup a day, that's not a good thing. But if you have 1 teaspoon in your oatmeal, that's probably fine, depending on you and your needs. If you're one of those people that doesn't do well with added sugars at all, then it's not going to be so good. But anyway, it's something to think about. So what's cool about maple syrup? Antioxidants. Has lots of antioxidants. There's studies that compare the antioxidant content of a lot of different natural sweeteners. And when you compare maple syrup to refined sugar products like white sugar or corn syrup, there's a lot of differences in the antioxidant content. Refined sugar, corn syrup, and agave nectar have, even agave nectar, which we think of as being somewhat healthy, agave nectar is not that great. I like agave nectar because it's very neutral, that when you add it to something, it doesn't give it a lot of extra flavor. If you're looking for the flavor of that thing and you just want to sweeten it up a bit, agave nectar is nice that way. When you put maple syrup into something, you're going to taste the maple. And if you want that, that's great. And I find, again, if you're looking at coffee, maple syrup tastes very good in coffee. But sometimes you don't want that. But I must say, one of the best lattes I ever had was at a cafe in Barrie, Vermont. And it was a maple latte. It was wonderful. And they got the proportions just right. And that is something you can do. You can have your coffee with maple syrup. But it's a treat. And if you like the taste of maple syrup. So maple syrup and dark and blackstrap molasses, brown sugar, and raw honey have higher antioxidant capacity. And molasses, by the way, has the highest, which makes sense because of that darkness that's going to give you the most antioxidant activity. So, of course, molasses has a very strong taste, and there's definitely a lot of bitter notes to molasses. And so when you're using molasses, you wind up using sugar as well, unless you really like that bitter taste. Maple syrup nutrition is impressive because it does have some protective antioxidants. And there was a study in Pharmaceutical Biology Journal that revealed that pure maple syrup has 24 different antioxidants. They're phenolics, and they're beneficial for reducing free radical damage that can cause inflammation and contribute to various diseases. So when you can, select grade B. So I only buy, if I can, I only buy grade B. And the wonderful thing is our food co-op carries grade B maple syrup in bulk. So we just fill up containers and bring it home and use that. And you put it in your, we put it in our oatmeal. And I don't know if you're using it in coffee or what you're using, but something to think about. It is lower on the glycemic index scale. And so refined sugar and refined carbohydrates tend to be metabolized quickly by the liver, which will cause a sugar high. It'll put a lot of sugar into your blood quickly, and which will send insulin out into your blood to get that sugar out, which will take the sugar out, and then you're going to feel like you have low blood sugar. When you eat too much sugar, your blood sugar will spike quickly, and it will raise your insulin levels, as I said, which can lead to insulin resistance and problems managing your blood sugar. So consuming too much sugar from any source is one of the causes of some of the most widespread health problems, whether that's diabetes, heart disease, obesity, and even maple syrup should be used in small amounts. So that's impressive. This is the maple syrup producers from Maine talking about this, and they're saying that even our good stuff should be used in moderation. You shouldn't be slugging back maple syrup. But if you have a teaspoon in your coffee or tea in the morning, you're probably fine. All right. Maple syrup has these nice polyphenols, and polyphenols are wonderful antioxidants and anti-inflammatories. They can help with arthritis, inflammatory bowel disease, heart disease. The plant-based compounds reduce oxidative stress, which is responsible for aging us at a quicker rate. The polyphenols can help protect against cancer. Sugar has been known to increase your cancer risk, or at least contribute to it. But maple syrup seems to be much less harmful because of the antioxidants. When you have antioxidants present, you have less damage to DNA. So antioxidants are important because they reduce oxidative damage. So they reduce oxidative damage anywhere in your body. So that means that if you're looking at wrinkles in your face, it will reduce the damage from the sun to the skin in your face. It will reduce the damage to the lining of your digestive system. The big thing that antioxidants do is they prevent damage to genes. And so when genes are in your body for longer and longer, they get damaged. And so it's harder for you to be resilient and reproduce at a healthy rate. So the more that you can slow down damage to genes, you'll continue to reproduce healthy cells in every organ in your body, including your skin and all of your organs, your blood vessels, and your enzymes and all of the compounds that you need for your body to run properly. So the more you slow down damage to DNA, the more your DNA is going to produce healthy cells. And so if you have damaged DNA, you're more likely to get unhealthy cells and you're more likely to get cancer, because cancer is damage to DNA, making it so that the cells start to de-differentiate. They start to differentiate away from the cells that they arose from. And so if you have these antioxidants on board, you're going to get more protection from it. And maple syrup actually has enough antioxidants to be somewhat helpful. I spoke specifically about skin health. There are some people who use maple syrup right on their skin, like raw honey, which they also use on their skin because it has antioxidants. It can help to lower inflammation, redness, blemishes, dryness. You can combine it with raw milk or yogurt, oats and honey. So you can not only can you eat your oatmeal, you can put it on your skin. The natural mixture applies this to the skin as a mask and hydrate your skin. So you remember we talked about hydrating. One of the things I talked about, putting a mask on your hair, you can put a mask on your face as well. And so a maple syrup, oat and milk mask can help to hydrate your skin. And there's going to be nutrients in the maple syrup, the milk, and in the oats that are going to do nice things for your skin. So maple syrup can help to improve your digestion. If you have too much refined sugar, you can get an overgrowth of candida, which is an unfriendly yeast that grows in your digestive system. When you have too much candida, you can get irritable bowel syndrome, which is a functional disorder of the digestive system where you have gas, and you might have gas, bloating, alternating constipation and diarrhea. You can get leaky gut syndrome where you have irritation to the point where you have the tight junctions between the villi, the villi are the finger-like projections where you absorb your nutrients, and they're supposed to be stuck tightly together. And when they're not stuck tightly together, there can be spaces that open, and then you can start absorbing things through the gut that you shouldn't from bigger pores. And so because of the antioxidants, you can maple syrup can be helpful for healing leaky gut. Again, you don't want to do tons of maple syrup. The other thing that can be helpful for healing leaky gut is things like good bacteria, eating healthy fruits and vegetables, eating prebiotics, eating probiotics, eating, healthy collagen. Those are all things that can help with leaky gut. But if you use artificial sweeteners can cause gas, bloating, cramping, and constipation. And if you do too much refined sugar, you can get all of those symptoms as well. So maple syrup can be a better alternative in baked goods, yogurt, smoothies, oatmeal, anything like that. There are vitamins and minerals in maple syrup, and there's zinc and manganese in fairly high amounts. So manganese is important for healthy collagen. So it helps you if you have, if you need to rebuild joints and things like that. Zinc, of course, can help fight illness and improve immunity. It keeps your level of white blood cells up. And manganese not only helps with your collagen, but it also helps with fat and carbohydrate metabolism. It's a cofactor for superoxide dismutase, which is a very important antioxidant in your system. Antioxidants. Manganese is helpful for metabolism of calcium and brain and nerve function as well. And so maple syrup is definitely a healthy alternative to artificial sweeteners. So Splenda, which is sucralose, and agave. So agave isn't an artificial sweetener. Agave is extracted from the agave plant, although the way that some say that it's extracted means that it's pretty processed. So it's not ideal. But I think putting agave in the same category as sucralose and aspartame, I don't think it's as bad as those things. And aspartame gets broken down to phenylalanine and aspartic acid. So it has excitatory amino acid problems. So people who take too much aspartame can get migraines from it. It can cause neurological damage. It can even possibly cause seizures. So aspartame isn't a great thing to use. And then sucralose, the issues with sucralose are that there's thought that it can affect liver function. Maple syrup and raw honey in small amounts are going to be a lot healthier for you than those. And artificial sweeteners don't have calories, but they're still tied to a lot of health problems. And they're still tied to weight gain, probably because they make you crave sweet, or they make it so that your body expects sugar, and they still cause some rise in insulin. And of course, because the aspartame, it affects your neurotransmitters, so it can cause anxiety and depression and even learning disabilities and also fatigue and memory loss and more illnesses like that. And maple syrup, small amounts of maple syrup and honey are generally not going to do that to you. And lots of illnesses can be increased by using artificial sweeteners over time. So maple syrup is not linked to any of those health problems and triggers more satisfaction because it is naturally sweet. Whereas if you take artificial sweeteners, it makes you crave more and more sweet. Maple syrup is thought to enhance antibiotic effects. There's downfalls of using a lot of antibiotics. They do target bad bacteria. They, of course, can also attack healthy cells and kill your probiotic bacteria. And because some bacteria are not affected by the antibiotics, the bugs that can escape the antibiotics can overgrow, and then you get overgrowths of other bacteria that can't be killed by those antibiotics, and then you keep looking for more antibiotics to kill the bacteria that you have. When you use maple syrup in conjunction with antibiotics like ciprofloxacin and carbamazepine, they noted the same antimicrobial effect with 90% less antibiotics. So they used maple syrup and they were able to use a lot less antibiotic. So it helped the antibiotics work better, that what it did, they studies showed that the maple syrup increased the permeability of the bacteria. So what you might want to think about is if you have to take an antibiotic, take a teaspoon of maple syrup, maybe a teaspoon of maple syrup a day, or depending on how many times a day you have to take that maple syrup, take no more than maybe 2 teaspoons of maple syrup a day and try not to eat any sugar, and take a sip of maple syrup, you know, adding up to no more than 2 teaspoons in the day to keep the level low when you take your antibiotic, and it'll enhance the activity of that antibiotic. So that's really interesting. So maple syrup is very interesting. It tastes good. It has some vitamins in it. It has some minerals like zinc and manganese, and it does it is absorbed more slowly than table sugar, and it does have antioxidants in it. It's still an added sugar, so you still want to keep your maple syrup consumption within the keeping of that. If you're a woman, 6 teaspoons a day, and for a man, 9 teaspoons a day of added sugars. It still counts towards that, but you're better off having that probably than refined sugar because there's more nutrients in it. Okay, so let's talk about honey. I was gifted recently with some lovely honey by my friend Beth. She gave me a little jar of chaga honey. So the honey had chaga in it, and it didn't taste that different from regular honey. It tasted like a good, earthy, raw honey. It didn't taste like, you know, refined honey that you get that's been pasteurized. But it did taste earthy. It didn't taste particularly mushroomy as far as I could tell. But it was very good, and it may be just because it was a very good honey, and chaga doesn't taste like much. So the combination of the chaga with the honey is going to potentiate the health effects of the honey. So honey does have some health benefits, and it does play a role in a lot of home remedies, a lot of alternative medicine treatments, and it has some nutrients, but it's not a significant source of vitamins and minerals. If you want to get vitamins and minerals, and good nutrients, you need to eat fruits and vegetables, clean protein, maybe nuts and seeds if you tolerate them, maybe clean dairy if you tolerate that, maybe whole grains or pseudo grains if you tolerate those, or root and tuber vegetables. But eating a lot of fruits and vegetables, if that's your dietary path, as well as clean protein, that's where you're going to get most of your nutrition. You're not going to get most of your nutrition from eating honey. Again, like I said, 6 teaspoons a day for women, 9 teaspoons a day for men. You can include a teaspoon of honey in there. It's made by honeybees from plant nectar. It's loved everywhere. And the smell, color, and taste of honey will vary based on the type of flowers it's made from. So there are loads of varieties. And then, of course, people do things to their honey to make it more interesting and more healthful. So people put chaga or other mushrooms in honey. Or we have a honey at our office that has all kinds of medicinal herbs, and it has echinacea and elder and cloves and licorice in it. And so it's honey helps with your immune system anyway. And then it's been enhanced with herbs that help with your immune system as well. So there are nutrients in honey. 1 tablespoon has 61 calories, doesn't have any fat or protein. It does have 17 grams of carbs, has a tiny bit of riboflavin and a tiny bit of copper. Honey is pretty much pure sugar. There's no fat, very trace amounts of protein and a few nutrients. So it's not really, you don't tend to eat enough honey to get enough of the nutrients, and that's not why you eat the honey. What it is high in is antioxidants, so it has to be high quality. So if you get pasteurized filtered honey from the supermarket, it's not going to be as good for you as local honey that's been minimally processed and unheated. It's going to have antioxidants in it because, it's food for the hive, so it's got to have some nutrition in it. There are definitely flavonoids and phenolic acids in it, like maple syrup. The darker varieties, the darker the honey, the more antioxidants than the lighter varieties. So a few years ago, we got some honey, which we actually stored, and now we're starting to eat. Our local, we had a local guy who did honey, And he had this beautiful honey at the end of the season, and he didn't know what his bees were eating, but the honey was nearly black. And I said, oh my goodness, that's amazing honey. That honey's going to have a lot of antioxidants in it. It's really good for you. And this honey has a pretty rich taste. It's like if you wanted to put this honey in your tea, it would alter the taste of your tea and wouldn't just taste like honey. So you have to be careful with that. But the darker your honey, the more antioxidants it's going to have. Mm. It's because the bees went for some flowers that had some extra antioxidants in it. So once again, the antioxidants help to neutralize reactive oxygen species, which can build up in your cells and cause damage. And again, can lead to things like diabetes and cardiovascular disease and any problem that you can think of. Honey, also, like maple syrup, it's better for blood sugar management. It does raise your blood sugar just like other types of sugar. The antioxidants can help to protect against metabolic syndrome and type 2 diabetes. So if you switched all of your sweetening to honey and maple syrup, you would probably have an advantage. And if you kept it to that 6 teaspoons if you're a woman, or 6 or less if you're a woman, and 9 or less if you're a man, that's going to be helpful for you. Honey may increase levels of adiponectin. Now, that's very exciting. That's a hormone that reduces inflammation and improves blood sugar regulation. When you have more adiponectin, you may have more success with fat loss. There's also some evidence that daily honey intake can improve your fasting blood sugar levels in people who actually have type 2 diabetes. So that's exciting. Again, it might be a bit better for people with diabetes. It still should be consumed in moderation. You can't be pouring honey over everything. Again, 6 teaspoons or less a day if you're a woman, 9 teaspoons or less if you're a dude. All right. Certain times, you have to remember that certain kinds of honey could be diluted with plain syrup. So honey adulteration is usually illegal. It can be a widespread problem. So you have to make sure that the honey you're getting is 100% honey. So if you know the people who made your honey, if you get local honey, you can find out from them what they're doing. And this is true for when you get pancake syrup. Pancake syrup may not be 100% maple syrup. So that's something you have to be careful of too. So you have to know who you're getting your maple syrup from, and you'll be able to taste it. There, you know, maple syrup has a delicious earthy flavor, and honey has a certain sweet flavor too that's distinctive. And you may be able to tell. It's going to be more bland tasting if it's been adulterated. So honey can have some protective effects related to blood sugar management. Still should be consumed in moderation. There is some evidence that honey may help to prevent heart disease. Honey can help to lower blood sugar or blood pressure, improve your blood fat levels, regulate heartbeat, and protect the death of healthy cells. And that's probably, again, because of the antioxidants. And this has actually been studied, that they found that a moderate honey intake helped to lower the risk of high blood pressure among women. And there was a rat study that showed that honey helped protect the heart from oxidative stress. Honey, raw honey also contains some propolis. Now, propolis can be extracted, but if you get just plain raw honey, there will still be some propolis in it. And propolis is a resin that bees produce from sap-producing trees and plants. And propolis has been shown to help improve cholesterol and triglyceride levels. Propolis is also a wonderful antimicrobial. So there's not a lot of long-term human study on honey and heart health, so they need more research, but again, honey versus white sugar, you're going to be better off. You might have heard this before, that honey is something that can promote burn and wound healing, that you can put topical honey on lots of different kinds of rashes. You can put it on eczema, you can put it on psoriasis, and you can put it on burns, partial thickness burns and wounds that become infected after surgery. Honey is an effective treatment for diabetes-related foot ulcers. So if you're getting foot ulcers or bed sores, you can use honey for that. This has even been studied. Topical honey helped heal most of the patients that participated in this one study. They think, again, because honey is antibacterial and anti-inflammatory, especially if you use raw honey, it's going to have that propolis in it. Again, the bees are going to put some good stuff in it because it's there to help the hive. It's there to help the health of the queen and to help all of the workers. It's got to be nutritious. It's not going to be just pure sugar. And it's they need it for antimicrobial activity so the animal, so the bees don't get sick. It has been helpful for, as I said, psoriasis, but also herpes lesions. If you've unfortunately got herpes sores, you can put it on that. I wonder if it would work on shingles sores. It's worth a try. I mean, anything's worth a try if you've already got shingles lesions. So Manuka honey is considered especially effective for treating burns. So Manuka honey is expensive because Manuka plants are in New Zealand. So any Manuka honey you get here was not made here. So there's a lot of carbon footprint with it. So if you can make it on local honey, it's a good thing. But Manuka honey can be really, if you can get Manuka honey, it's really great for your immune system and it's really great for your, for topical use. I'll never forget, I had a young patient come in. She was a teenage girl. And I was offering Manuka honey to my patients. And because Manuka honey can give you an edge when it comes to, it tastes good. And I thought it would, might be something nice for kids and teens to use because it tastes sweet. So it might be a nice thing to give them to help them with their immune systems. And I gave a teaspoon of this Manuka honey to this young woman and she gagged on it. Some people that just don't have, they just don't have cultivated palates. The palates are very limited. And so Manuka honey is going to have a more earthy taste than straight up honey. And not everybody likes regular honey either. They just want the regular sugar. So that's unfortunate. Coughs. There's studies on coughs in children. And I don't know why you wouldn't use it for adults too. You know, that there's that commercial with the bear who's offering the modern cough syrup that also has honey in it. Now, I don't know why you would use cough syrup when you could just use honey. Now, you could use syrup. There are certainly cough syrups that have honey plus have homeopathics in them. Then there are cough syrups that have honey and other herbs that are good for your lungs. So obviously, coughing is a common problem for children and adults with upper respiratory infections. I mean, remember this year we have the tridemic, we have the RSV, the flu, and COVID. And so our honey is something you want in your arsenal if your poor kid gets RSV, respiratory syncytial virus. So common cough medications are not always effective. They can have side effects, and honey can be a good alternative, or you can use both. I would say use honey along with herbal remedies that have nice herbs in them, like, for example, like cherry, wild cherry and licorice and elecampane and yerba santa and kella. There's a lot of different lung herbs, lungwort. There's a lot of different plants that are helpful for lung tonics. Mullein is another good one. So there was a study on honey and cough in children that found that it tends to be more effective than diphenhydramine. Diphenhydramine is an antihistamine that can help with that helps suppress inflammation. It tends to suppress inflammation, and it's an antihistamine, so it helps with allergic reactions. And there was a study that showed that honey was more effective for cough symptoms and helped to reduce the duration of the cough. So if you use some honey every day, put some honey in your tea to maybe take a couple spoonfuls when you have a cough, you might resolve your cough a little bit faster and doesn't have side effects like some medications can, unless those related to eating too much and too much blood sugar. It's really easy to add it to your diet. It goes nicely on bread. It's delicious on any baked good. It's good in your coffee. It's good in your tea. It's good in your yogurt. You can use it in cooking and baking. It's good in some dishes. You could use it in savory dishes like soups or stews, or, you know, in a honey. When you do a sweet and sour sauce, honey is a wonderful thing to add. Like honey mustard sauce is delicious. Hey, we should do fish with honey mustard sauce. What do you think?
There you go.
Okay.
We can do that.
Yeah. I think we're getting low on mustard. We need some mustard. Okay. Remember, don't give honey to children less than 1 year of age, because there can be Clostridium botulinum in honey. Ooh. It's in small enough amounts that in people older, you know, kids older than a year, that your bodies can take care of it, and, you know, adults as well. If you're immune compromised, I don't know that I've never heard it said that you shouldn't have honey if you're immune compromised, but I wonder about that. But certainly if you're less than a year of age, then you don't give honey to kids younger than a year. So if you're using honey-based cough syrups and honey for coughs, you should not give it if your kid is less than a year old. Honey is a type of sugar, so it can raise your blood sugar levels, and you don't want to eat too much of it. And so small amounts of honey can help your diabetes because of the way that it helps to the antioxidants help to regulate your blood sugar. But if you eat a ton of it, it's going to make your diabetes worse. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. Got a lot of health benefits. It tastes good. Use it in moderation. Six teaspoons of added sugar a day if you're female, and 9 if you're male, less if possible. Let's talk about molasses. Yes, bye. All right. So blackstrap molasses is a byproduct of sugar production. Very popular in Newfoundland, where I used to live, where they would give you lassi buns. And a lassi bun is, you know, it's a sweet roll that's flavored with molasses. You boil sugar cane to crystallize the sugar, which is separated and then filtered to separate from the juice, which leaves this thick brown liquid called molasses. And it's boiled a couple more times to create blackstrap, which is even thicker and darker and has a bitter taste to it. Because it's boiled 3 times, blackstrap molasses is more nutrient dense than other types of molasses. So it has some popularity as a supplement. You can use it as a sweetener, a spread, a topping for yogurt or oatmeal. It's great in baking. I love molasses cookies. Molasses and ginger together are match made in heaven. It can help with anemia, arthritis, PMS symptoms, and even blood sugar spikes. And this has even been studied. So make sure, so here's some science-backed things about blackstrap molasses. So it's got it's a nutrient-rich sugar byproduct. It's got, you know, it's got 60 calories per tablespoon. It's got 14 grams of carbs and 10 grams of sugar. It does have a gram of protein, has 20% of the daily, this is different than other sweeteners, 20% of the RDA of iron, 10% of calcium, 10% magnesium, 9% potassium, and 8% B6. So it is probably all of the refined sugars or all of the, even the natural sugars, this is the most nutritious. It also requires the most cultivated palate because blackstrap molasses is bitter. It's like a food in that way. It's got enough iron in it that it can help to reduce iron deficiency anemia. And it has, so blackstrap has more iron than light, 2 to 3.5 times more iron than light and dark molasses. And blackstrap molasses is a source of plant-based iron, which your body doesn't absorb as well from meat. Its bioavailability is considered to be like 85%, so it's a really good way to get iron in. So blackstrap molasses is used to treat constipation in children. You have to get the molasses into them, though. That's the only thing. So if you give them 0.5 milliliter of blackstrap molasses, which is like... 0.5 milliliter is not very much because a teaspoon is 5 milliliters. So that's like 1/10 of a teaspoon. It's really, you're giving them 0.5 milliliter you're giving them 1 milliliter per kilogram of body weight. It can help with constipation. Because there's potassium in the molasses, the high potassium content may be helping to regulate your muscle contraction so you have less constipation. There's a lot of antioxidant. It's really dark. It's strained. So you're getting a lot of the antioxidants from the sugar cane, which protects you from all that free radical damage. It can help with oxidative stress. It has a lot of polyphenols and because it's so black. Things that are dark tend to be really high in polyphenols. It may help you with bone health because of the bioavailable calcium. If you don't have enough calcium over time, that can lead to bone density issues. And so there's research showing the calcium supplement can reduce osteoporosis risk. So you can get a little bit of that calcium from molasses. The iron content of blackstrap molasses may help your hair health. There's hair loss is often associated with vitamin and mineral deficiencies. And there's an idea that iron deficiency is common in women with hair loss. And if you have that condition, iron supplements are recommended. So having a little bit of molasses is one of your teaspoons of your sugar content might be a nice thing. I really love molasses. There's some stuff that's not backed by science, but it's anecdotal, that it's helpful as an anti-inflammatory that helps relieve joint pain. It helps to stabilize blood sugar. And again, because of the lower glycemic index and the antioxidants, going to help with blood sugar regulation. There's some thought that because of the low glycemic index, it's going to help your ADHD by preventing blood sugar spikes. So those are nice things. It does have, there are some acrylamides because you have a heated carbohydrate. So you don't want to, so that would make me think that you don't want to have molasses all the time. There are studies that show that high doses of dietary acrylamides cause cancer in rodents. Results from human studies are mixed on whether acrylamides increase your risk of cancer. I would think that if you're having all those antioxidants and if you're eating other foods that prevent cancer, that the little bit of acrylamides that are in the molasses, that it's not going to hurt you. There's association between acrylamides and melanoma and cancers of the lymphatic system, so you have to be careful with acrylamides. So I think of all of the natural sugars, molasses is probably the best one because it has the most antioxidants in it. You do want to use it sparingly. Again, if you're going to have your 6 teaspoons if you're a woman and 9 teaspoons if you're a man, you want to limit it to that, but you could mix and match and maybe have molasses one day and have maple syrup another day, and or have a little, you know, a teaspoon of maple syrup in your oatmeal and a teaspoon of honey in your tea, and you'll be good to go. All right. So that was very sweet. So take-homes for the week, how sweet it is to sugar, not to sugar. And then this week we focused on caloric sweeteners. Next week will be, WHUS will be broadcasting our show on the solstice. So we'll have a solstice themed episode. You have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host, Ron Meniza. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch, ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on this show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS stores, and WHUS.org.